This is Commons Cast, the official podcast of the Martha Rivers Ingram Commons at Vanderbilt University, featuring Q&A with the Dean, the Commons Calendar, and a first-year resident interviewing various humans of the Commons. Now, here's Q&A with Dean Melissa Grisolfi.
All right, this is Abby Woods, and welcome back to another episode of Q&A with the Dean. Welcome back, Dean Grisolfi. It's been so long.
Thank you. It's nice to see you.
It's so nice to see you. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
That's awesome. All right, so recently, it's been a little while. We've all kind of settled in, but we recently had formal recruitment here at Vandy. So do you, as the Dean of Commons, do you hear a lot about that, or do you kind of... Are you kind of an outsider with that? How do you interact with formal recruitment, if anything?
That's a great question. Mostly, I only know what students tell me.
Nice.
So, there's a whole enterprise that manages formal recruitment. And the first year that I was here, the day that everyone got their bids, I don't remember why, but it was very public on campus, and lots of people had face paint and were wearing strange things.
Oh,
and
yeah.
We were the kids and I. They were really little then. They were 6 and 8, and we were in the dining hall, and I hadn't even noticed. I was just busy making sure they didn't spill stuff off their trays, and Ansel said, "Why does everyone have stuff on their face?" And I looked around, and I thought, oh, it must be bid day.
Yep, Greek life activities.
Yep, and so I was in a sorority. My husband was in a fraternity, so, you know, we did have our own experiences in college with that, which was probably why I was... guessed what it was.
Yeah.
But no, I only know what people tell me, really. Yeah. Otherwise, we're really not involved.
Interesting. Yeah, I feel like it's changed a lot since my parents were in college, since my parents were in college, because they both did Rush, as it was called back in the day. Mm-hmm. It is now called formal recruitment. But I feel like the culture of it has definitely changed for the better, for the safety of students. And I think that we're moving in a very positive direction. Do you have any opinions on that?
Well, I mean, gosh, I hope it's better than it was when I was in college. I will say that. I think when I was in college, we did call it Rush, and we called it pledging, and sort of terrible things happened, I think, in general. Good things happened too. I mean, I will say that my absolute best friend in the world was a sorority sister. We went to a really small college. I would have known her anyway.
Right.
But, for sure, being in a sorority together is partly what helped us get to know each other better. I think especially the becoming a part of the fraternity or sorority, that was not a great experience.
Oh, for sure.
And, you know, Vandy has had its own, thinking about what Greek life should be. There was the mm-hmm. abolished Greek life movement and a lot of thinking about, to what extent is this equitable? Is this inclusive? Who feels welcomed here?
Right.
And those considerations I care a lot about.
Of course.
And so, you know, even though I personally don't have anything to do with Greek life, it was really great from my perspective to hear students really wondering about that and grappling with it and trying to reform spaces that didn't feel welcoming.
Yeah, I think we've come a long way. We still have a long ways to go. But I think since then we've come a really long way, which is really exciting. And I attended formal recruitment. I am currently... I think I'm a potential new member still because I haven't been fully initiated into the sorority. I'm not 100% sure, but whatever the lingo is. But I joined my sorority in order to make friends and to kind of have a community. And I heard that from a lot of students. And it just makes me wonder how many students did not choose to attend formal recruitment that are still looking for that community and looking for more friends. So do you have any advice for people that are, in college, first year, still looking for friends?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So this is a really typical thing that we don't actually have a high percentage of our student body that pledges, that joins a fraternity or sorority. And every year the percentage is even lower, right? So as opposed to where I went to college, 75% of the student body was in a fraternity or sorority. So if you were not if you were not Greek, as we used to call it, then and also it had to do with where we were. I mean, there was literally nothing to do in Lancaster, Pennsylvania in the mid-90s. Every year here in January, there is some disruption because people routinely have found like their first communities on their halls, which is really typical.
Right.
And those friend groups feel really tight usually. Yeah. Not for everyone. Sometimes you just don't hit it off with someone in your hall. That's actually not atypical either. But, you know, often people have found people on their hall, and then some people choose to join a fraternity or sorority and some people don't.
Right.
And as you know, if you're in the middle of this process, like, it's kind of time consuming.
It really is.
And so there are people with fewer obligations where they used to perhaps hang out with someone who now has to be at some event. And so there's a lot of sort of resettling. And I will say, you know, from my vantage point now, knowing students, you know, for years, right, who went through this and getting to work with students at all different years, I do not observe people mostly being friends with folks who are in their fraternity or sorority. And so there's this stage that happens this spring, and then, like, people get resettled, right?
Right.
So that community is just one of your many communities as you meet more and more people here on campus. For this spring, for people who are sort of trying to, you know, reorganize, it's a great time to look again at student orgs and see what you're interested in. In the fall, there's usually two ways of doing student orgs. There is the I'm going to do every single thing that's fascinating to me version, and the really, really concerned about my schoolwork, so I'm not going to do anything version.
Right.
And neither is a great version.
Right. I've been through both those versions.
Right.
They're
and
not
so
great.
It's pretty typical. And so, you know, then you sort of are like, okay, well, what thing did I actually like? Right. And you know, which org had people who I want to hang out with more? And so this is a great time, if you have time, to ask that question and find one of those orgs and start to explore. Because that really is how you meet your friends, because you have something in common with them.
Right.
And initially the thing you had in common with people was where you lived.
Yeah.
And you might have people, things in common with people based on the classes that you take, but ultimately that's not usually what your friendships are about, right?
Oh, exactly.
So student orgs are a good way to meet other people.
Yeah, that's so refreshing to hear, because I feel like so many people have, it seems that everyone's already gotten into their cliques, so it's nice now that, you know, we're partly through second semester and it's still a good time to revisit orgs that we haven't heard of or maybe we overlook. So that's really awesome to hear.
Well, it is. And I just want to say, so my favorite day in Visions every year is when we have a panel of upper division students come to Visions, and it's usually seniors, and always students talk about who their friends were their first year and who their friends are now.
Yeah.
And even people who say, like, Hank 6 was amazing, or whatever they say, right? Like, our hall was amazing.
G2.
That's right. Like, whatever that version is of, like, we had the best freshman hall ever. Usually by the time you're a senior, those are not the people who you're spending all your time with.
Exactly.
And so it feels like people have strong friend groups.
Right.
And I'm not saying that people who are your friends right now might not be your friends all 4 years.
Right.
But the group piece gets, like, resettled over time.
That's really nice to hear.
Yeah. So do not despair if you have not found your group. I myself had not, like, I lived with the same, I had the same roommate all 4 years.
Oh, you're lucky.
Casey Ryan. Yes.
Wow.
And she's,
shout out to Casey.
She's a wonderful woman. But we were not best friends.
Right.
Like, obviously we liked each other and we cared about each other, but, you know, we both had a lot of other friends. And at the end of my first year, I distinctly recall thinking, like, oh, really, can I not make friends? Like, why does it feel so weird here? And that was even having pledged a sorority.
Yeah.
And it wasn't really until, like, I was in more of a routine my sophomore year where I started to figure out, like, well, who are the people that I like hanging out with? And by the way, that changed too. By my senior year, I was really clear on the, like, who I really cared about. And those people, I graduated in 1999. So that was 23 years ago, 24 years ago.
Man.
I know. Oh, God. But, you know, those women are still my friends. But some of them were not my friends my first year, for sure.
Well, that's really good to hear. That's some awesome advice. Thank you. All right. Thank you so much, Dean Grisalvi, for joining us this week. And a big thank you to all of our listeners. I hope you enjoyed this week's episode of Q&A with the Dean. This is Abby. Until next time, next up, we'll be with the Commons Calendar.
What's up, Commodores? I'm Linda Hsu, and I'm hosting this week's Commons Calendar, where I bring you all up to speed with the on-campus happenings. To start off this week, today from 6 to 8 p.m., the Vanderbilt NEDA Campus Warriors is hosting a mirror decorating GBM in Buttrick 306. The aim of the GBM is to encourage positive self-reflection, body positivity, body acceptance, and body neutrality. Next, on Thursday, February 9th from 7 to 8 p.m. in Feathering Hill Hall 132, Justice Through Code is having their spring GBM. They will be reviewing an updated DISMAS curriculum, discussing what was done last semester and talking about goals for the new semester. They will also have crumble cookies, so be sure to go check it out. Lights on the Lawn is looking for committee members. Lights on the Lawn is a fundraiser concert hosted to raise money for the Mary Parrish Center, a facility that provides free aid to survivors of sexual and domestic abuse. People interested in helping plan and organize the annual fall concert held on Alumni Lawn should submit their applications by midnight of February 10th. Visit their website lightsonthelawn.org for more information. Finally, Saturday, February 11th from 7 to 8 p.m. is the Vibe 2023 show, Vibe the Remix, at Langford Auditorium. Enjoy the student-choreographed hip-hop dance performances to remixes, mashups, and more. The Vandy comedy group Tongue in Cheek will also be featured. Doors open at 6:30 and tickets are $5 each. We hope to see you all there. And that's all for this week's Commons Calendar. Be sure to check the anchor link for more information on dates and events. Thank you all so much for listening. Now on to the Humans of the Commons segment with Aigen.
Hey Doors, I'm Aigen Iscario, a first-year student here at Vanderbilt and your host for this week's Human of the Commons interview. My guest is Vidula Ovia Vasanthan, a first-year student from Mount Juliet, Tennessee, majoring in computer science with a minor in business. She also lives in Hank Ingram House. Ovia, thanks so much for joining me today.
Of course, it was my pleasure.
So we talked about this before the interview, but you're from Mount Juliet, which is really close to where we are in Tennessee. So can you talk a bit about what that's like? Because I know for a lot of us here, our hometowns are spread across the country, even around the world. So what's it like having your home in your backyard?
Well, sometimes it can be a blessing and a curse, right? Sometimes when I really miss my parents, I miss my sister all the time, right? And in those cases, they're like literally 30 minutes away, right? So it's like I could like pop in and, I don't have a car here. I don't drive. But like they could come here and be like, hey, what's up? And like sometimes I go back like every week sometimes. But definitely.
You tell me about all the events you have back home with like your family and like all your friend groups from high school. And it's just so nice because like for those of us who can't do that all the time, it's like a very once in a blue moon special occasion thing. But having that as like a casual option, what's that like?
Honestly, I feel like I don't really know. I don't probably know truly how fully special it is. Like, I don't realize how much of a blessing it is, maybe. But I do like it because, like, if I ever miss them or, like, I miss my sister all the time, right? Like, I literally love her to pieces so much. Like, this weekend on Sunday is my sister's birthday, right? Like, I even, like, had her gifts ready and everything. I'm set to go for that. I'm so excited for it.
Oh, my gosh. So cute. Okay, and I know... Okay, this is crazy. I'm moving on. I didn't know we had this in common. We were stuck in different countries during the pandemic.
Wait, you were too?
I was stuck in the Philippines.
Stop.
I had to be repatriated. So, the pandemic started, like, spring of 2020. Right?
Yes.
So I had to go back to the Philippines in the fall of 2020. And I was there till winter of 2021.
Oh, wow.
So like more than a year.
Same here.
Wait, really?
Yes. Look, I went like February of my sophomore year, right?
Okay.
I don't know the year. Is that 2021?
2020.
2020.
The pandemic started in 2020.
Yeah, I just remembered a sophomore year.
Okay, okay.
I was there. Yeah, I went back February of my sophomore year.
Okay.
2020? 2020, I think. 2020, right? Yeah. And then I got back, I want to say like end of December. Of like my junior year.
Oh my God.
Yes.
Yeah, I think we were on similar timelines. I think you were a little bit longer, but yeah, what did you do there? Or were they also like very strict there? Because I know in my country it was like face masks, face shields, no one yes. under the age of 20, no one under mm-hmm. the age of 65. It was very much like full on lockdown.
No, it yes, honestly, so it was just me, my sister, my dad, and my grandma. My grandma lives in India. So she just like, she thought it was going to be this like 2 week affair thing. And she just was there to like cook good food for us.
Be a good host for 2 weeks. And yes. then it's back to her lifestyle.
Yeah. But no, instead she was stuck cooking for us for like almost over a year.
That's crazy. And how was the food? I know, and I've been obsessed with Indian food lately.
Oh my God. Okay. I'll be completely honest. Indian food is good here, but it does not do justice for like
to the ones back home.
Yes,
absolutely,
truly.
I mean, authentic food just hits different, especially really when you're does. In the country really where it's does. From.
Mm-hmm.
What's your favorite?
Honestly, there are just too many good dishes to have one fair. Favorite. But there, I do have a comfort food, right?
It's okay.
called parupasadam, right?
Ooh,
right. It's like okay, you know the yellow Wait, how lentils, do you say it? Right? Parupu.
Sadam.
So,
parupu sadam.
Mm-hmm. Parupu is basically like, you know the yellow lentils, right?
Yeah.
It's basically that.
And is it with turmeric? I feel like everything's with turmeric.
It has a little bit of turmeric
okay,
in it.
Okay, okay,
It has a little bit of turmeric in it. And sadam is basically just rice. That okay. for, I mean, it's rice in Tamil, which is the language I speak.
Okay. Parupu That's sadam. So interesting. What part of India mm-hmm. are we talking about here?
So it's the southern state.
Okay.
Called Tamil Nadu.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, are you by the coast then?
Yes.
Okay, yes. Tell me about that.
I love the beaches there.
Really?
Yes. Oh, my God. Okay. So, like, if I go to the beaches there, right, they have, like, fried fish,
oh.
like, fried corn.
Like grills and stuff?
Yes. Yes.
That
it's
sounds
like, it's
so
like,
good.
It's literally just happening right there. They literally get the fish from the sea, and it's like all marinated and fried oh. and cooked and everything. Oh my God, the corn they have there, it's like slightly fried, slightly cooked, slightly grilled, and it's like as salt, it has spices, it's so good, it's so juicy, right?
Yeah.
Like whenever I get the chance to eat it, right, for a long time I haven't had the chance to eat it,
yeah,
right, because you know, for obvious reasons.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, you know that one like Corn Kid song? I think about what? That sometimes.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know. There's this like little kid and he just like sings this a song about corn. Like how amazing it is. Like sometimes I think about that when I have it.
Wait, can you sing it for us? I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know. It's I don't know. It comes in like YouTube short. I saw that
I
once.
I love corn.
No. No. No, that's
okay, as much as I would love to stay in this world that we're creating in our minds, I'm gonna take us back to commons.
Got it.
I
got
know
it.
We don't have the food they have in India, but oh my God, mm-hmm. you're like a foodie, right?
Yes.
And oh my God, okay, side note guys, me and Avia ate at the Grilled Cheesery one day and we both tried this vegan coconut milkshake. It was so good. And Avia discovered one night when we went to Stam Sweets that she could recreate the flavor with Sprite and vanilla ice cream.
It was crazy. I was not expecting that. Like, I had that before, right?
Yeah.
But after I had the vegan coconut shake thing,
yeah.
I was like,
this tastes familiar.
Exactly like that.
Yeah.
It tastes exactly like that.
So, like, have you ever had any more, like, exciting mm-hmm. foodie moments on campus? Like, have you cooked anything that was, like, you were very proud of? I know it's not, like, India grandma level quality, mm-hmm. but, like,
yeah.
what are you... Tell us about your food experience on Commons.
Okay. Honestly, I haven't had the time to cook in campus a lot.
Okay.
But when I went back, Pongal week, I don't remember exactly which week it was. I want to say it was like 2 weeks back.
Okay.
But like, I cooked the entire meals for all the festival. It was
crazy. Oh my
crazy.
God.
I
that's
know.
Such a slay.
I was so proud of it. Like I made like the entree. I made the appetizer.
Okay, name
I
them.
I made the dessert.
You
okay.
can't just say entree and appetizer, like nothing.
Okay. So obviously for Pong. Okay, so basically just to like give a little like info on Pongal festival, right? Mm-hmm. So basically, like, when the new year starts and everything,
yeah.
Pongal is basically like saying like, okay, hey, like the new year is starting, mm-hmm. like the crops are all like ready to go, like, yeah. you know, we're like having food, like, It's almost like a celebration for like, hey, look, we have food. It's a new life starting, new year starting. It's like amazing, right?
Yeah.
They like have like a little pot and like they put rice, right? And they have this thing called vellam, right?
Vellam.
Yes, vellam. I don't really know what it translates to in English.
Well, what is it? What is it made of?
Actually, no. I got it. It's jaggery.
What is that?
Yeah, I know the English translation is called jaggery.
Jaggery. Let me look it up. Jaggery.
Jaggery.
Cane sugar.
Mm-hmm.
Consumed in the Indian subcontinent, Southeast Asia, and Africa. It is a concentrated product of cane juice and often date or palm sap without separation of the molasses and crystals, and can vary from golden brown to dark brown in color. Ooh.
It is so good.
Interesting.
It's very good.
Cane sugar. Gotcha.
And like, I don't know, like, I feel like that form of sugar, it's just, okay, because like when I'm cooking it, right? Or like when I see my mom cook it, it's almost like the feeling I get to seeing that is like seeing the cookie dough, right?
Oh, yeah.
You see cookie dough and you want to eat it before you like bake it. It's like that. And like, there's this policy, right? If you're like cooking something for God, if you're like making something for a festival in the name of God, right? You're not supposed to eat it before you like
serve it.
Yes.
Okay. That makes so much sense.
So you can't even taste it when you're cooking it, right?
And that's like, that's such a dangerous game.
I know.
You have to do everything right.
I know. And like, fortunately, I have me, my mom, nor my grandmother, we have never messed up.
Really?
Never messed
That's
up.
That's such a talent.
I know, right? And I feel blessed. I'm like, you know,
I got the good genes. Not just the good genes. You got the skills.
I do.
You got
Thank
the cooking
you.
Skills. Yeah, so, wait, where were we?
We were talking about dishes that I made for Pongal. And actually,
wait, yes. Okay, uh-huh. Entree, appetizer, name them.
Mm-hmm. So obviously Pongal.
Yeah.
I made that.
What is Pongal?
Okay, so it's rice, you cook rice, and then you cook like this like type of parappu. I don't remember exactly what it's called in English. There's that, you just kind of cook it.
What is like, it though?
I don't know how to explain it. Like, the translation is just not hitting sometimes.
No, but like, what is it? Is it meat? Is it veggies? Is it?
No, it's a dessert. I'm coming there.
Okay, fine. I'll let you speak.
Right? Okay, so you just like boil it and everything, and then you kind of like smush it around, and then like you like heat up the jaggery, and it's like this like goopy, watery kind of thing. You mix it with it, right? Over like the stove and everything. And then separately, do you know what ghee is by any chance?
Oh, yes. Right? My mom uses it instead of butter.
Okay. Yeah. I love ghee.
Yeah.
Literally love ghee so much, right? So you take that and then you saute cashews,
Ooh.
Golden raisins, almonds, all in the ghee,
okay.
right? And then after you like saute it and everything, you pour it back into the rice jaggery mixture thing that we created.
Yeah.
Right. And sometimes some people do it, some people choose not to do it, but you can add coconut, like just like slightly shredded coconut to it.
Okay.
Or saffron.
Okay.
Love saffron.
I know we both love coconut.
We do. Coconut is like one of the best.
Pour that over the acai bowl at Kasam all day.
Oh my God. No, it's
I'm so sad it's closing.
No.
Kasam's closing.
Wait, why?
They're getting rid of the Munchie Mart permanently. And then they're expanding the kitchen. Have you not heard of this? For like the gluten-free menu?
No. They can't shut down acai bowls.
I don't know if they're still going to have it. Maybe they will. Let's hope they will.
I really hope they do too. Like it's.
But like, I don't know.
They can't close down acai bowls.
We're just not going to have it for the rest of the year. Like after March, I think. So that's a bummer. But I'm kind of pokied out. Like me and Kelsey were talking about last time. We were like, uh-huh. I've had so much of the poke this past week because I thought I was like, oh my God, I'm going to miss it so much. Let me eat it for lunch like almost every day. And now I'm like, I can't even finish a bowl.
Oh, it's understandable.
Yeah. So what do you think of, because I know Commons Dining has mm-hmm. some Indian food sometimes for lunch. Yeah. What do you think of that? Mm-hmm. How does that compare? Or what? How? Any feelings about it from your perspective?
I feel like I would really enjoy it more if the rice was a little bit more cooked, right?
We were talking about this.
Like, because like, you know, rice has to be soft.
Yeah.
Right? It has to be soft. Like, I feel like it's half cooked. Like, I can still feel the grain as I'm swallowing it down. I'm like, no.
Yeah.
No, I cannot have that. I can't.
If that's a deal breaker, the deal maker for me are the crunchy chickpeas. Those just make every bowl. I sprinkle that on top. I'm like, mm-hmm. I'm a happy camper.
No, they are really nice.
They are.
Sometimes they have these like little like mango chunk thingies or whatever.
And we both love mangoes.
We both love mangoes. They're the best things.
The girlies are get it.
Coconut, mangoes. Yeah,
coconut, mangoes. We both got stuck in different countries during the pandemic.
You know what would be so amazing?
Mango coconut milkshake.
Yes. But actually, I was thinking, okay, you know jackfruits, right?
Yeah.
Imagine if they had jackfruits in Commons.
It's not really my thing. But,
You don't like it?
Okay, but to be fair, my parents have a farm back in the Philippines where they have jackfruits growing on trees, I think.
Oh my God.
Or like, I don't know. That. They just harvest them and they bring them back home. And I'm like, every time they make it into this frozen dessert where they like pour a bunch of like condensed milk on it and put it in the fridge and then freeze it. And then we eat it like frozen and it's like better. But like, I don't partake.
I've never had that before.
Really? Okay, we should try together.
Because like, okay, so usually the way my family has it, we just straight up like eat it just as it is.
I mean, the freshness is must be nice.
Yeah, or put honey over it.
Yeah.
That's usually good. How we do it.
Maybe we can combine both of our little techniques.
You know what I always wanted to try though?
What?
Like a potential recipe I'm thinking, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, like the chia seed pudding, right?
Save it for our Mayfield.
You know what? Okay.
That's a secret for another day, everyone. Thank you so much, Ovia, for joining me today.
Of course.
Love you.
I love you too.
Well, everyone, this has been Aigan Iscario, and thank you for listening to the Humans of the Commons interview for My Commons Life.
Commons Cast is produced by My Commons Life, a division of student media at Vanderbilt, in cooperation with the Office of the Dean of the Ingram Commons. Subscribe to Commons Cast at Apple Podcasts or via your favorite podcast app.